Blog Talk Radio.
WMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio. You're listening to Wheeler James, A Change Is Going to Come. This subject for today has been an emergency broadcast for us at WMRDB, our family, our friends. I rallied our troops together. I want to thank everybody for coming on. This conversation has to come up and it has to become a static footprint in history because we don't know how long Facebook is going to last. You know, so think about it. Protesters demand justice. We're speaking with artist and activist Regina Hicks. We also have the Monica Fly, who is located in St. Paul's, Minnesota. Regina Hicks is located in Atlanta, Georgia. People are moved to speak and want to gather in solidarity and protest. And we certainly honor and respect that. Now, we know that large gatherings do pose a risk in this epidemic, but certainly where we stand today with the state of COVID-19 spread in our communities, knowing that we have a community spread, we just want again to encourage folks to come together in a mindful way. Now, we had several things that have happened. Toronto Police Headquarters, as protesters marched to highlight the death of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and Toronto's Regis Poquette, who died after falling from an apartment building while police officers were present in Toronto, Canada, on May 30th. Also, we know that in Minneapolis, George Floyd, an unarmed black man, died after he was pinned down by police officers Derek Chauvin. A video of the handcuffed man dying while under Chauvin's knee knelt on his neck sparked a fresh and fury over U.S. police treatment of African Americans. The video shared online showed Floyd actually pleading for his life. He couldn't breathe. So the mayor fired all four of the police officers. Protesters demand justice. I want to thank everybody that's online today. I got a few people that I asked to jump in here. So I want Regina, I know you're with us. Thank you so much for joining
us.
And we see all the things that you are on. You are one of the millennials, and I know that you have been boisterous and activist on every cause. We want to thank you. Thank this generation for doing what I know I couldn't do. I honestly know that based on my physical disability, but this generation is standing up. We got Monica Fly on from St. Paul, Minnesota. Monica, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me on this evening.
Okay, and I think I have a caller from 479 area code. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Marlene Dial.
Okay, we got Marlene Dial in the Carolinas, and we got caller 678.
Jay Holloway, Atlanta.
All right, we got my little team on. Everybody, this is it. So, guys, let's just jump into it. Now, I thank Marlene immediately for jumping on. Marlene is a lobbyist, a political figure in Washington, has been for several decades, and such retired. We know that there's been a lot of stuff going on politically. We asked her to come to the show immediately and talk about what's happening. We have the Monica Fly, who's located right in the heart of the pulse of everything that's happening in St. Paul. And Jay Holloway is one of my colleagues that are from 1420 AM. He has a talk show here in Metro Atlanta, and he's also a veteran. And, again, we have such a very great panel tonight. I want to just thank you all immediately, you know, to kind of bring this on because you guys know how I am. But I want to get into this real quick. So, the first thing, just I want to go by respect. Marlene, tell us what's going on politically.
Yes.
What's happening?
Well, there's no justification, period, for Mr. Floyd's life loss of life. I've seen some different articles that say that. I've seen different things. There's arguments that it may not have been even the same guy that they're mentioning. When you look at the guy's picture, the actual Mr. Chauvin versus the person in the video, it looks possible that it could not be the same person. That doesn't mean it is or isn't. Just looks like it's possible. Several questions about just various things that don't add up from the videos, like. You know, how the guy that Mr. Tao that was in the video, that was his Mr. Chauvin's, his brother-in-law. Then the autopsy says that Mr. Floyd did not die of the neck, you know, being held down. He died of a heart attack, basically. And so I'm just saying these are all the questions that are out there. Now, with that said, clearly we have a major problem with civil disobedience with looting and rioting. And the next question politically has to be, was this necessary? And, you know, who knows? I really am not going to sit here and justify that because I can't. But I'm not in the thick of it either. So I can't really say that, you know, they're doing the wrong thing because I just can't say that. But I will tell you this. If it was my business, there'd be hell to pay. There's no way I would leave my business, number one, because insurance doesn't cover a business when it's rioted and looted. It doesn't. So everything there, those people own, is gone. They'll never see it again. So the first thing I think politically that if I were President Trump is I would write some kind of a bill to the House and the Senate for these people to be reimbursed for their livelihoods to get their businesses back somehow. That'd be the first decent thing I would think he could do. The second thing I would think needs to be done politically is there needs to be a chance for the offenders to come in and admit what they've done and ask to figure out how they can help make restitution, and then them be given, you know, immunity after they've admitted their and acknowledged what they participated in. I think these are all reasonably political things that could be done. The fact of the matter is we can't get Mr. Floyd's life back. And I'm not going to pander or insult or be condescending to the black community justifying what was done to that man. I can't. I can't. It's just wrong. So, but I will say this. I don't think 30 wrongs make one right. And that's how many cities have been attacked and, you know, looted and burned. So there's just a lot that could be done here politically. Whether it will be done or not, I don't know. But there's a lot that could be done.
Okay, well, we appreciate that. Now, Regina, you have been on the front lines of social media. Tell us what's happening, what your peers are their feelings, and what you've been showing us all on Instagram and Facebook. What is going on the activist side of everything?
Well, first I'd like to touch on something that Marlene brought up, that there have been some debates about whether or not the man arrested is actually the same man who was kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck. There have even been some, and I hate to use the word conspiracy theories because I really don't buy into that, because I understand where that term and phrase came from, who coined it. But there's also been some conspiracy theories and rumblings that this whole event is staged by the left, by the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and people of that ilk on the left, the progressive liberal left. And there's a lot of anger. There's a lot of anger from all sides, even when it comes to the various theories. Overall, people are angry. People are pent up. We've been in our homes for almost 3 months, self-isolating because of coronavirus. People have lost their jobs because of coronavirus. The economy has come to a complete screeching halt, and it's hurting a lot of people. And then you have these instances and incidences like the Ahmaud Arbery case and Mr. Floyd that have ignited a lot of fear and suspicion and anger. And so people are out there in the streets rioting and looting. And even though I'm a millennial, I come from the ilk or of the background that doesn't – I believe in nonviolent protests. I believe that Dr. King's tactics and methods were true and righteous, and therefore they work. And if they work then, they work now. And I encounter a lot of young people who are just like, yeah, but he was killed. He was shot in the face, you know, and he didn't really change anything, which is insulting to Dr. King's legacy, because he took a bullet because the tactics that he was using and employing nonviolent peaceful protesting, applying peaceful pressure worked. And the power structure or the establishment at the time saw those tactics as a threat. And so, therefore, the word was given. And, you know, we've learned now that our government is and was responsible for the assassination of Dr. King. I don't agree with the looting and the rioting. I think there's a better way. I think the reason why we can't see that better way is because nobody has actually articulated that better way to this generation. We thought Obama was going to do it, but he didn't. And because that vacuum was left there, when Trump came talking about making America great again, a lot of people felt like that was a racist dog whistle. And I counter that by saying, well, what's racist about making America great again? Oh, well, America was never great. Well, how is that so? I wasn't raised on a plantation, and neither were you. We're not slaves. We can go where we want to go. We can ride in the front of the bus. We can go to school with other people. We can interact freely and move around the country. So to say that America was never great for black people, that black people were never able to bring themselves out of poverty is lunacy when you look at Cardi B and Lil Wayne on television, when you see the likes of Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson on television, black people who are wealthy, who have come out of situations that weren't pristine and have made themselves, Kobe Bryant is another example, and who have made themselves wealthy, you know, and have realized the American dream. So there's a lot of anger out there. There's a lot of anger, and I understand it. I think all of us understand it. Watching that video was heartbreaking to have that man, you know, calling out for his deceased mother, for someone to help him. But I think we have to also look at the human nature of it. You know, people stood around and filmed it. No one helped him. No one put their phones down to get these police off of this man. And had somebody done something, this man might still be here. And we may not even be having these issues that we're having across the nation. I think not since the assassination of Dr. King have we seen this many American cities burning with anger and frustration and sadness. And we've got to do something about it. And I echo Marlene. I think that Trump needs to – I think the president needs to get out and – there needs to be some type of executive order. I understand him, you know, trying to expose the deep state and Obamagate and all this, that, and the other. But Trump needs to unequivocally and without question make a statement with an executive order that will make it criminal for peace officers, who are the police, that patrol and protect and serve our communities, make it a criminal federal crime, a criminal act, when any person is killed unjustifiably, who's been detained, who's got handcuffs on, and there's a use of excessive force. I think the president has to do something instead of asking the black community, what do you have to lose? Because at this point, with the economy in shambles and a lot of us out of work, a lot of us can't answer that question the way we could in 2016 come November when we go to vote. And when put up against, you know, if you don't vote for me, you're not black, creepy Joe, dementia Joe Biden and Trump, a lot of people are going to vote for dementia Joe. So, you know, it's like, what do we do?
Can I say something, Karina?
Right, so hold on one second.
Karina?
So I want to invite, okay. One second. So I want to invite our veteran to the table, my guy Jay. Jay, jump in here. Tell us what's going on, what you're thinking of from, you know, being a veteran and being in combat, all of this. What's your thoughts, brother?
Well, I was a big fan of Muhammad Ali when his heyday was really before my time, but my dad and my late uncle were professional boxers who knew Ali during the time before he converted to Islam and won the championship and everything. I remember them telling me at the point of Ali winning the gold medal for the United States and throwing his gold medal in the river because he represented the United States greatly but still couldn't come back to his hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, and eat in a restaurant. So he said, what's the point of having the gold medal? I'm representing, but I still don't have the equality, so he threw it in the river. So as a two-time war veteran, retired veteran, in 2020, law-abiding citizen, taxpayer, gainfully employed, I feel like I can't go jogging. I might get shot. Yeah, we're running out of reason to kill black men. If I sit in my apartment, somebody might bust in and shoot me. If I go jogging, I might get shot. If I sell loose cigarettes, I might get shot. I don't really know the whole story of how the whole thing happened with George Floyd, how the police got caught. I heard about a counterfeit bill or whatever. But they're running out of reasons of killing people that look like me. So here I go. What I'm saying is I've served this country. I pay my bills. I abide by the law. And guess what? That still ain't enough. So I don't really know what else I can do. I feel like just really packing up my ish and leaving. Really, because at some point, Will it be me or somebody else closer to me? This is the one thing I can't change. I can't change what I look like. I can change character. I can change religion. I can change jobs. I can change education levels. I can't change my skin color. I can't change my gender. Black male is definitely under attack. That's obvious. Very, very obvious. I agree with the sister that said about everybody sitting there watching. Everybody's sitting there watching. Nobody's doing anything. I don't know if the majority of people there are saying, well, if we go do something, they're going to have a knee on their neck, they're going to get shot or something too. But I don't know. I can't judge them. I don't know what if I would do in that situation. But I can sit here and, you know how we get in that third person? That wish that would have been me, or I would have done this. I can't sit here and say I'm going to sit there and watch somebody kill somebody and I don't do nothing. I would have to be faced with that situation as to say it. I mean, the no, honestly, but I just don't get it. The tearing up stuff, the riot thing, it's not beneficial, but it is gang intent.
I'm sorry, hold on. Whoever's doing that background noise, can we stop that, please?
Yeah, maybe press the mute button. I'm trying to press mute until I'm talking.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, so I'll resume there. So the rioting thing all over, I grew up in Miami, Florida. I grew up and saw riots because of the same thing, probably to about from being a kid to about 13, police officers killing black men. So I've been seeing it. It's part of my DNA, whether I agree with it or not. Am I going to be out in any town? I'm currently in Savannah as we speak. Am I going to be out in any town tearing up stuff? No. Do I think my kids should be out doing it? No. But seeing them, I understand. I don't agree. It's funny to me that everybody gets to say, oh, the people out there tearing up stuff, but they don't really have much to say about what started it. Nobody's sitting home Friday night in Atlanta and say, hey, let's go tear the city up. It's a cause and it's an effect. People are tired of seeing this same old thing over and over and over. And what are we going to do about it? We're talking about an autopsy. And saying the guy had pre-existing health conditions. Does that mean he was a foot in the grave? I don't know, but I'm sure a cop with a knee on his neck is a big factor in his death, regardless of what autopsy said. Okay, so we got to get away from that right there, and then that's what I'm saying. We continue to explain stuff away. I had a tense discussion with a female friend of mine who sent me a video of Mr. Floyd dying. And I said, what's your intent? What was your intent of sending it to me? It's on the news. Every time you turn, it's on the news. What's your intent of sending it to me? She couldn't answer it. I said, that's my whole point. We're seeing black men get killed so much, we're numb to it. It's a fixed numbness. We shouldn't be looking at it. It happened. You're going to see it on the news. What's the point of you sending it to me? If I want to see a text story about it, we're talking about it tonight. Don Lemon's doing a special one. I Can't Breathe, Black Man Getting Killed in America right now. I'm watching. I got it muted out as we talk. But I was asking her, you send people text messages of encouragement. Hey, how you doing? Have a blessed day. Funny jokes, memes, whatever. What was your intent of sending a black man a video of somebody killing him? What's your response? Am I going to send you back an AOL? A heart sign, whatever. She couldn't answer. And I said, that is the problem. We're desensitized because of what we keep seeing that's normalized. That is a problem. If it was white males, you would not see a video all over Facebook, all over Instagram, all over the news of a white male laying there begging for his mama taking his last breath. You wouldn't see it. It might be blurted out. It might be a white sheet, but you will not see him taking his last breath. I can guarantee you that. That's what I get.
All right, so I'm gonna jump into the last part of this. DeMonica, you are in St. Paul on the ground. You are not last but not least, but you have more at stake in St. Paul with the discussions that you and I have been having with the family. It's just so much fear, you know, with my sister, my brother being up there, you guys being up there, us calling you all through the night. It's so much happening. So kind of give us what you know, what else is true in this situation. So we appreciate you. I also want to bring to everybody's attention that the Monica has just recovered, is recovering from COVID-19. So we want to thank God for her.
Oh,
being,
wow.
You know, thank God for the fact that she
thank
is
God.
Here. She's still standing. And it's taking everything in her power and probably her husband to beat her from going outside the door to get out there in the streets because she is an activist as well. So, DeMonica, tell us what's going on.
Okay, so basically, well, first of all, I'd have to address them. When, at the time that the people who filmed the actual footage, you know, because as you know, it's from different angles. One of the angles was a child that she's 17 years old. She wanted to go, she wanted to do something, but being a minor, and she was scared to death to really, you know, try to have the police stop. If you listen to the video, you could kind of hear another person in the background. She was saying the same thing, too. Like, please, he cannot breathe. Take your knee off his neck. Now, it upsets me. It really hurts because, as you know, Kareem, I told you it touches home. This man has been to my house. He is a good friend of my husband. He is a beautiful person. And to see that, it really hurts, you know, to watch his final breath and to hear for him to call for his mother. I think... what is really happening, and I'm not even going to say I'm saying, here in Minnesota, as you know, Philando Castile was killed in broad daylight. Jamar Clark here in Minnesota was killed over north in broad daylight. And these are all by the police departments who's supposed to protect and serve. And sometimes they feel as if they got this badge that they feel like they, I don't know what happens if they just go into this inferior mode that they cannot be touched with or accounted for what they've done. Now, I agree. I definitely agree with Marlene said and what Regina said, that yes, they should be held accountable and charged. To have, first of all, we're insulted. This is the thing. You come back and you finally, okay, I give Mayor Fry, a lot of people are upset with Mayor Fry in Minneapolis, but I think he's doing an excellent job as far as making sure that they were off the force, and Chief Arredondo, had them off the force within 24 hours. The bad thing is, you have our prosecuting attorney here who is the head state attorney, which is Mike Freeman. Mike Freeman, when Philando Castile was killed, that officer... basically, he got off. As you see across the world, outright, in front of everybody's eyes, that young man was killed. Everybody's scared that the same thing is going to happen because they're saying, first of all, it's third-degree murder with manslaughter, which, as you know, when you go into the judicial system, that they can plead that down to basically a manslaughter. the other three officers, what made everybody more upset was, one, we were upset because he only got third degree. Two, the other three officers are still out and about, and they have not been picked up yet. So that's making everybody get more tense and upset. Now, I don't agree with all this tearing up the property because, like, I'm really upset with is that you guys have rioted and tore up property that's in our neighborhood. So you can't take your mom and your pop neighborhood to even get their prescription. That I don't agree with.
Right.
But I do agree with standing up for a right. If I wasn't sick with this COVID, I would be down there marching to this day. Now, they insulted us with the autopsy. And I understand they're going by the medical layman, you know, the medical terms. And I've been in the medical field for over 10 years. Because I'm very competent at that. But if you lay down and you think about laying down on the ground for 9 minutes with somebody piercing their knee in your throat, and you're seeing that person is saying, I can't breathe, my stomach is hurting, I can't breathe, and you see that the blood is coming out their nose and pleading for their mom, and they're steady saying, I can't breathe, you should have got up.
And then we
Marlene,
made
I'm
going to
let you come through this. Hold on. Marlene, what do you think about that?
Oh, I completely agree with Demonica. There's just no logic or justification for what was done, period. The way the courts work is two ways, two things here that the courts are going to see. First of all, I'm not trying to pour negative rain on more negative rain, but Amy Klobuchar, who was a candidate for president, she was the attorney general for that state, and she's the one who had to sign off on not prosecuting these police officers before now. So you've got to hold accountable who needs to be held accountable. Second thing is, I completely agree that when officers abuse their position, that there should be, repercussions for that, just like your veteran gentleman said. However, I will say this, and I think he could probably agree with me on this part, that it's a slippery slope, because it's hard to get people to become law enforcement officers anyway. It's a thankless job, and it's a tough job, and every time you walk out that door, your family may never see you again, just kind of like the military. It's not a it's a very all in type career, and so there's not enough thank yous, there's not enough money, there's not enough support you can give those people who go do those jobs nobody else would do anyway. And then when you have that one that's going to be dishonorable and take advantage of somebody that he thinks his manhood has to be more important than, well, I agree that is that is definitely a problem. And it definitely needs to be further investigated past the great blue line, as it's called, because police officers will protect each other to the point of breaking the law, protecting each other. But the military can kind of function the same way sometimes. And so it's a slippery slope. And it's a great thing to argue, but it's a hard thing to prove in the long run. Now, back to Mr. Floyd's heart condition. The problem with that is an autopsy is always the top leverage information of science in a courtroom. I don't like it, especially in this case, because, you're right, Demonica. There's no doubt in my mind that man had his knee in Mr. Floyd's neck for 9 minutes on the ground contributed to a heart attack. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But that's the great thing about a layman jury. A layman jury is going to say, well, that could have been me. I'd probably had a heart attack too. If you'd have had just a bunch of scientists in there or just a bunch of attorneys, being the jury, then they're going to say, well, the science says this and the law says this, so we can't blur the lines. Well, that's not true. The layman can read between the lines and say, this man is guilty, and therefore he will pay the price for abusing his power and his position. I guess the thing that is bothering me the most amongst this whole thing is we've seen how evil mankind can be to each other. Now, I know I'm not some kind of a flower on the wall. I think Kareem would be the first one to admit that.
Yeah, no.
But the part that just bothers me the most here is how evil we have become. How heartless and how just lack of consideration we are for our next door neighbor. And the reason I say that is not because, yes, Mr. Floyd was the catalyst that made this take off, but the fact that you have these people who can literally go a block from where they live, knowing that their neighbor's cousin works at that AutoZone, and they don't care if he's going to have a job tomorrow or not, or the mechanic that owns his own shop three blocks down the road that gets his parts there because they're cheaper than having to drive 18 miles across town to get the part now to be able to try to, fix people's cars. I think that's what's really eating my lunch, is that it's sad in that, and the young woman who's the millennial here, feel free to, set me straight, because if I'm wrong, please do. But the
Everything you're saying, I agree with you because you're 100%.
There's this limited vision of outcomes. I guess is what I'm saying. You know, let's get caught up in this mongrel mindset and mentality, and just destroy everything around us because we're just sick of this. Well, that fixes nothing. I mean, it's like I got in trouble at work today because I've been late for the last 4 days because of the bus being late. So instead of telling my boss and trying to deal with it, I leave work and go home and beat my wife and then go to jail. And then I try to tell the judge the reason I'm in jail is because my boss chewed me out for being late 4 days that morning because the bus was late. It makes no sense. And a judge is going to look at you like, did you just fall off of a rock or what? You know, because granted, yes, it's all tied together. Yes. The guy beat his wife because he lost his ability to control his emotions because of what happened at work, and he's already under so much stress. He can't provide for his family, yada, yada, yada. Yes, everybody can understand that. But what they can't understand is why you took it out on your wife. And that's kind of how the American public feels now about the looters and the rioters, which at this point, from what I can see, please don't hold me to this, but from what I can see, it's mostly people under 25 who really are not really working that hard to get a job anyway, from my observation. And the other part is these are people who claim to be grieving, but let me grieve by stealing all the liquor I can get out of this liquor store. Or let me steal this 81-inch television, right, that it helps me grieve over some man I never even met and don't know, just because we have the same skin color. This is not a justified visual outcome of where you're going to go. And that's why I hope and I pray and I seriously believe it's within President Trump's scope. I don't know that he will do it, but it is within this man's scope to understand that these kids got motivated and carried away by the wrong people. They were impressed by the wrong people. I mean, it's not an accident there were these pallets of bricks on the corners of these particular buildings these people rioted
exactly.
and looted and set on fire.
Yes.
That's not an accident.
Right.
So I'm hoping President Trump will you're fine.
To speak on what you're saying, today on Twitter, the president announced that Antifa is now a terrorist organization.
Yes. Right. Right. You have a lot of leftists now coming out and supporting Antifa. And how that you can do that, I don't know. But, I mean, that's not my conviction, but maybe it's somebody else's. But you'd have a hard time selling me that conviction. I'm just saying, hopefully President Trump can and will allow these people to work off this terrible damage that they've brought into their own community. I mean, seriously, let them laborly rebuild the stuff they destroyed. That's what we do in war. When we go into a war and we destroy it,
yes,
we allow people
I agree with that.
That we destroyed to come back and rebuild. So let's let these kids have some immunity afterwards, after they've done their duty.
Yeah, I agree.
We're gonna take just a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking about protesters' demand for justice, speaking out, artist and activist Regina Hicks. We also have a guest on, Mr. J, the Monica Fly out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and Marlene Dow out of the Carolinas. We'll be right back, you guys. Thank y'all. Hold on for a second.
Wash your hands. Avoid sick people and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Sandy Demetroff, CEO of Brand Rep, a full-service digital marketing agency focused exclusively on the SMB market. I've been in digital marketing for over 20 years and consider myself a serial entrepreneur. I absolutely love building businesses and teams and helping small business owners accelerate growth. Needless to say, we're in uncertain times and uncharted waters, and all businesses need some extra support to strategize about their online presence and digital marketing campaigns. In this segment, our team is going to provide guidance and share some innovative ideas about how to engage with prospects and customers as we begin to recover from COVID-19. More and more business will be done online as foot traffic may be limited. So we're going to talk about leveraging online channels, including SEO, paid search, and social media to gain a competitive advantage and thrive in this new normal. I hope you find this information to be helpful and valuable.
All right, we're back with WMRDD Atlanta Mix Radio. I am your producer slash host. We are talking about protesters, demand for justice. We have our guest on. We got Ms. Monica Fly out of St. Paul, Minnesota, Ms. Marlene Dials out of the Carolinas, Mr. Jay, who's in Atlanta, who's a veteran, two-time war veteran, and we have our millennium artist and activist, Regina Hicks. Everybody, thank you. We only have a few minutes, about 19 minutes left in the show. I didn't know it was going to take this long, but I just thank you all for coming in to the show and letting people know what the different sides. So, Regina, it is your turn. Tell us a little bit about, again, you've been getting a lot of stuff that I saw that you posted on Instagram. I don't want to get into that part. Tell me what's important to your generation right now. What is it that you all would like to see?
I think that's what's lacking in my generation is a lack of education and a lack of understanding. When I look down my Facebook timeline, I see a lot of people that, from my opinion and from my point of view, are very radicalized. I've made some posts about Bobby Kennedy or President Kennedy or Dr. Martin Luther King or even Malcolm X, and the overall consensus is that, well, they were all killed. And I have to always point out to them that, well, they were killed because the tactics they were doing or employing or the things that they were saying and bringing to the attention of the world and the public at that time was a threat to a hidden power structure or a cabal. And that structure is behind a lot of the things that are going on right now with the civil unrest, with the division. I really think that the media also plays a big part in that because it distracts and it propagandizes and it misleads a lot of people. Michael Jackson said it very clearly when he said, just because you see it in the magazine or see it on a TV screen, it doesn't make it factual. And I agree with the president and when he says that the media is the enemy of the people. And why is it the enemy of the people? Because it misleads you. Because it propagandizes you. It's not telling you the facts. It's not reporting on everything that's news. It's reporting on sensationalism. It's clickbait. It's taking certain sound bites, editing together, and even sometimes not even editing them together, but some sound bites that are sensational and running with that. That's not educating and alerting and informing the American people. It's dividing them. It's misleading them. And I think within the Black community, there's a lack of real leadership. If you look at the statistics and if you look at how far off the beaten path our community as a whole has gone off, it would break your heart. We have, to me, in my perspective, even though the police are a threat to African-American community, but to me the greatest threat to the African-American community is abortion. We have bought into the left liberal progressive eugenicist lie that, you know, abortion is a good thing. 30, 40 years ago, our grandmothers were against us killing off our yet unborn generation. And I think that's more of a threat than police killing us. We're killing ourselves. Black-on-black crime is a threat. There's a lack of leadership. cohesive leadership in our community, like a Dr. King. And since he was assassinated, we have not had anyone who has led us in such a way as to that we would get some type of result. We thought Obama was going to do it, but he really didn't do it. So I think we lack leadership.
So, Jay, what's your closing thoughts about what the opinions has been discussed for this evening?
My closing thoughts are, I don't know if you guys saw the other night, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. She was just livid. She was 38 hot the other night, and T.I. and Killer Mike spoke. Killer Mike, you know, minus the couple of pieces of profanity doing there, he was on point. He was really the best speaker. And he was just saying what we have to do as far, instead of tearing up stuff, we have to fight this systemic racism with, you know, through the polls. Going to the polls, getting that prosecutor out that's not right, and getting the right people in place. I get it, but that's not the answer. You know, and totally that. Something definitely has to change. Sitting around marching and protesting, and that's been going on before I was born, 60s or whatever, 50s. I was born in the 70s. I ain't never marched to protest, but I'm tired of it. You know, and so that might say, well, you ain't nothing how you decide, but I'm tired of the result. The result ain't doing nothing, obviously, right? It ain't doing nothing. I'm tired. I'm just tired, and I ain't marched nothing, and I'm tired of it because it ain't doing nothing. Okay. So something definitely going to have to change.
First one to tell you, I did march. I marched during the Vietnam War, and because it was something that needed to be done. We were lied to and told that we weren't even at war. We were lied to by LBJ telling us that we were spending the money on war on poverty, and yet we had guys in our own community that were coming home, you know, with half an arm, half a leg, or never made it home. So somebody was lying, and you better damn well believe I marched, and I don't regret it one bit. And I never got arrested, but I don't think I would have minded if I had have, because I'm just one of those kind of people. I'm passionate about things. But I will agree with you. In this particular case, marching isn't working. And I will also say, if I were African American, which I'm not even going to be pandering and make you think I am, but if I were, I might feel completely different. But I have a very, very, very best friend from high school. We played high school basketball. She lives in Dallas. She's a manager, actually, for Walmart. She's African American. And we have been at each other a lot on this deal, not fussing, just trying to understand each other's perspective. And we've come to the place where she asked me, she goes, Marlene, my God, you shoot down everything I say. So what do you recommend? I said, this is going to sound crazy, but it's the only thing I can think of that hasn't been tried yet. She said, okay, what is it? And I said, what if the police didn't have a reason to come to your door? What if the police didn't have a reason to stop you on the side of the road? What if the police didn't have a reason to, you know, ask you why you're in this store when you shouldn't be? One of my friends who's an attorney back in Arkansas says, if the police comes to you and tells you to stand on your head and sing Mary Had a Little Lamb, do it. After you get out of the situation, then do something about it. But in the meantime, honor the police. Now, in this particular case, Mr. Floyd was doing everything they asked him to do. So this was, you know, we needed to see one of these. I think the American people needed to see one of these in action to realize how bad and escalated the situation has got. But now we've seen it. So what are we going to do about it? You know, and what if we do try this where we there's no reason for the police to even bother to talk to you? You know, it may not ever work. It may be just too irrational, but I'm ready to try anything at this point. And I think most people are.
Yeah. But you know, the police aren't allowed to without probable cause.
Hold on for a second, guys. The Monica, take us out of this. What are the next steps in St. Paul?
Well, I can say what I was happy about was the protest was absolutely beautiful. Like I said on Facebook, One thing I like about Minnesota, it is black, white, native, Hispanic, every nationality. It is a big melting pot here. And we all came together this evening, 12,000 people on 35W Bridge. It was beautiful. It was absolutely breathtaking to see that tonight. Until
that's good.
Ignorance
that's
of the
wonderful.
Truck, the semi-truck driver came, a gas truck, came through the crowd and ran a couple people over tonight.
Oh, my God.
Tonight?
That just happened. 45 minutes
oh,
ago.
My God.
An hour ago. I was on the phone with
wow,
three.
But
let
me turn. Ask you this.
That's too
why
much.
Would you
like,
protest
why do
on
that?
An interstate? Why protest on an interstate? That's where cars go.
Oh, they were on an interstate.
You know,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
you got to
down,
you got stay off
down.
Of it.
But they had 12,000 people, so they shut down the interstates when they have these protests. They've always done that, even with Martin Luther King, when they went over the bridge, over the, you know. So they shut
mm-hmm.
it down. We still don't know right now as I'm talking to you, because I call television tell a vision what they want to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know where this truck came from. So we have not figured out where this truck came from that went into the crowd tonight.
Yeah.
But we had people that were together that were black, white, and everything. And I absolutely cried, and I felt it tonight. I was like, yes, we're finally coming together. We're going to let this go. We're going to fight for this. We're going to, you know, stand up. And then once again, the ignorance of somebody else. So I don't know where
that's
we're going
crazy.
Now, guys.
Oh
just keep us in
all
prayer
right, everybody, I
want to
thank you guys. Just, I know this is a quick show, but I didn't know if y'all were going to respond to my quick call. I'm just, I really appreciate it. And
oh,
I'm
Karima,
up,
I'm there. Anytime you
call,
I'm there.
Well,
thank
you for inviting us.
This has been a,
you guys.
this has been a great show. I want to just close out with one final thought. In my mind, that I can't shake, and for some reason I can't lose sight of what I was learning during my fast for Ramadan, and I had a great opportunity to do a lot of studying and speaking with a few people about some things, and I am overwhelmed with the way the world is starting to come back to a way of decency and moral value. And I think out of it all, you know, you got some ignorant people that just are not going to be right. We know who those are. As black folks, we know them, Pookie them. You can't trust Pookie them with nothing. Like Pookie them on top of the CNN thing. You can't take them nowhere. This is something else. You just can't take them nowhere. Them the Monica cousins. But anyway,
we got those in the white community too, girl. It ain't limited to just the black folks.
Yeah, I think it's
okay,
a classic section, Karima.
I wanted to say it, but I know, yeah. Y'all know I said it in a minute. My mama said she don't like that word.
I don't like that word. Don't say that no more. That's ugly.
So I'm just not going to say it, but y'all understand. Here this thing is.
Right.
Girl, I couldn't do it. He just watched. He just all up on CNN. Don't even know what CNN. Ooh, anyway. So here we have it. But I want to thank you all for tuning in, because it was a bit too much. It was. And I've been overwhelmed with the whole situation. I know that you guys are very active in your communities and both in any way possible. I thank you all for tuning in and being a you know, a consensus to the entire. Can y'all hear me? Because last time I talked, I was breaking up. But can't ready
no,
to hear me breaking up, Demonica.
Just got
yes,
okay.
I just
yes,
want to.
Ma'am. We got you.
I just want to say that, you know, we just need to come closer to God. You know what I'm saying? In a moral.
Yeah.
There's a moral value that we all have to uphold, no matter what we are, black, white, Asian, Muslim, Buddhist. It doesn't make a difference. This is a defining part to me. I believe this in my soul, that this is a defining part in our history as people to come together, and there's a moral decision that we have to make. And I'm going to read this. This is Amos 5 through 12. It says, there are those who oppose the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the court. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. This is Amos 5 through 13. Look it up. It's a new version. But
Amos
again, it says a lot of what's happening. I believe that people are truly coming together, and I thank you all just coming on, and hopefully maybe we can do this again. But I thank you all. Regina, I know you have some new stuff that's coming out. Tell everybody about that new hit you got dropping. Regina, you gone? That's old millennia.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you. The single is called Period. It comes out on Friday. It'll be everywhere. Period, Don't Want You Back. And the album will be out in the fall. So, you know, thank you for having me tonight.
Appreciate it. Anything new going with you, Jay?
No, not really. Working, got a new position at the job, so getting ready for that, and that's why you haven't really heard from me, but we'll talk about that offline. I'm getting some things together, but everything's moving in a positive direction. Of course, this is taking up a good bit of my mind space, but hey, I'm praying for change and trying to figure out the best solution to get past what we got going on here, really. But I just pray that everybody is well. This is a tough time for us all.
And Marlene, anything that you wanted to share before we get out of here?
I think that the very fact that we all got on and participated shows how concerned we all are for our communities. I mean, this is, you know, I have chills just thinking about it. But I have one good piece of news. I live in a little tiny town, as you know, outside of Charlotte. And today I had to go to Walmart, to the rural Walmart by my house and buy some groceries. I ran into all kinds of black and white and green and purple folks in there, kind of like me. I tend to be green some days. But anyway, we all expressed how much we loved each other, how concerned we are for our community, and how we want each other to be safe and stay safe. And that was the most inspirational thing. That was better than church for me. Really, I hadn't gotten that kind of a love feeling in church in a long time, and I got it in a freaking Walmart. So this tells me change is coming. We have to hold on. We have to stay positive. We have to care about the guy, even though we don't know him, sitting beside us on the ground with some idiot's knee in his neck. So we have to step up, just like Jay said. So thank you for allowing us the chance to step up.
DeMonica, any closing thoughts? We've got about 30 seconds.
I just wanted to thank everybody for coming on and continue to pray for us here in Minnesota, and so that we all can just continue to love each other and get through this. This too shall pass.
All right, y'all. You listen to the MRG show.
We are the ones to make a brighter day, so let's start giving. Just believe there's no way we can fall. Wow, wow, wow.
just like the river. I've been running ever since.